You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, what will the highways be like with the introduction of driverless cars? We speak with an expert. Plus, how safe is dating these days? You'll learn how to get out there and investigate your date. Let's meet the friends making sense of sad news this morning. Erin Myers is here.
Police search Bobby Christina Brown's home again. I'll tell you what they found coming up.
Staking out his own slice of cheese, it's Chris Martin.
We'll talk about everything you need to know before you start your new business on the moon.
That's fun. You know what? You can almost end every sentence or a song title or whatever it is on the moon. If you wanted to.
Yeah,
can't you? Yeah, I think you can end every fortune cookie that you ever receive with in bed.
Yes, I've heard that one before,
yeah,
too.
There you go. Well, let's get the show started on the moon. No, that's a little later when we talk to Chris on the moon. Here's Erin with our first story today. And this whole Whitney Houston legacy and the bathtubs and the drugs and all of this, it's just a sad, sad story.
It's very sad. And now friends and family members are saying that police searched Bobby Christina Brown's home again and they did find drugs. Hmm. Now, the officers aren't confirming it, but that's what family is saying. And, you know, she was found Saturday face down in a bathtub. They were able to get her breathing again, but she's still pretty much unresponsive.
Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown's daughter.
Yes, their daughter. Yeah. And, you know, very similar to what happened to her mom in the Beverly Hilton in 2012. So it's just really, really sad. And they're not really saying much.
She's in an induced coma?
Yes, on a ventilator. And they're not really saying much about her condition. You keep hearing mixed things. TMZ said, you know, they were seeing some brain activity. Others are saying it looks very bleak. Mm-hmm. So no matter what, just very, very sad for all of them.
Well, thanks for starting the show on a downer.
I heard something about her opening her eyes, but not trying to read too much into that.
Yes,
so.
that was coming, I think, from TMZ as well. Yeah. So just, they haven't officially said, though, the family.
Just a sad situation. Is Bobby Brown speaking? Is he even involved in the situation?
He's there, apparently. And I heard that Tyler Perry was also there with him. Mm-hmm. And they just said, you know, thank you for prayers. And they are just asking for privacy right now.
Yeah. All right. Suge Knight. He's been in trouble. He's been to the court to hear his charges in that situation where he allegedly ran somebody over not once but twice with his vehicle and left one dead and one severely injured.
Yes, and I guess he pled not guilty. And after doing that this morning, he apparently had an anxiety attack and they had to rush him to the hospital.
Do you buy that? I mean, do you know anybody who's – I mean, it seems like sometimes it's almost illegal – maneuver.
Yes, I feel like
to well up the panic attack.
I think he probably really did have a panic attack.
You think so?
I think everything's turning dark on that guy right now. I mean, he's been in jail for how long? Pretty much the majority of his adult life. Now, an instance like this happens. He knows he's going back. At least allegedly, that's what.
Do you think a guy like
shows.
Suge Knight, who's powerful enough and rich enough, can he organize some kind of breakout?
I think with this, I think this time he's in trouble. I think this could be it for him. And it's sad, you know. I mean, you get this opportunity that he had. He was very successful, and then you can't get out of that.
But he's still innocent until proven guilty. I mean,
that is true.
Is there any proof that he ran somebody over twice?
Apparently there's video, some kind of video. They're not releasing it, and we don't know what's on it. But I did hear that it wasn't good for him, that video.
Video. We don't know what kind of video. But these days, somebody's going to snap out their phone in a hurry and hit record.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, you know him coming up to that scene, knowing there was issues with the guys. It's going to be a problem.
Get out of there. He should be avoiding everything. If I were him, I'd sit in my house all day long. I wouldn't leave.
Yeah. All right. Do you ever watch Bugs Bunny?
Sure. Love Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
He's the man.
You remember that that classic Elmer Fudd operetta where it killed the wabbit.
That's right.
Right?
Oh. Kill the wabbit.
That's classic, isn't it?
Yeah, well.
Could that be the theme of our next story?
Could be. In North Dakota, I guess in Fargo, jackrabbits are taking over. in backyards and in like this new apartment development. And they're, you know, the size of small dogs, and there's about 50 of them in this neighborhood, and they won't leave. Yeah. And, you know, people who live there say there's nothing the city can do at this time because there's no ordinance.
Do jackrabbits breed like bunnies?
I think at the bottom of the article it says that they can have up to 9 offspring in each litter and up to 4 litters a year. So that's a lot of jackrabbits
yard. 9 times 50, that's a million jackrabbits in a matter of a year.
I have a solution. You bring in snakes and coyotes in mass numbers, and that will help reduce the population.
Yeah, the coyotes, though, once they're
then
done
you're
going to
have a coyote problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, see?
Leave your small children in the backyard and it's
I haven't thought this out fully.
Shouldn't be laughing about that. Poor babies.
Yeah,
no. They're cute, though. The first thing I saw when I look at the picture, I'm like, I want one.
You want a jackrabbit?
I do. Okay, they're very cute.
Just get one because, remember, they breed like bunnies.
Yeah, there's 2 bunnies actually in my neighborhood, I think, that somebody let go, and I've been trying to figure out a way to catch them and hopefully get them to a rescue because they shouldn't be out on the street.
So you can wash it and feed it. And
hug it and love it. You get a cage that has a closable door. When they go in and grab
in
to grab the carrot, and the cage door shuts on them.
We're like a mind meld today with the Warner Brothers cartoons, aren't we, Chris?
Jeez.
Okay, very good. And on to you, Chris, and let's start your story on the moon.
That's where I want to broadcast from. That's my future goal.
That'd be fun.
The U.S. government is taking new steps to encourage commercial developments on the moon. That's right. You heard me right. U.S. companies can stake claim on lunar territory. There is an existing licensing process for this, which does make you think, is it going to be a giant land grab? You know, we can get up
there
easier.
Well, do you want some? I mean, how much does it cost? What is it getting divvied up? Is there a real estate agent?
I have not seen that yet. I haven't seen any prices on the land on the moon. I haven't seen any realtors on benches.
There was a guy about
promoting that
10 years ago who said he was selling stakes of land on the moon. Now, it may have just been a scam. He was giving people certificates and moon maps and all this sort of thing and said, okay, here's your stake. But he was selling a ton of this real estate.
And no one will ever get it, though, because it probably wasn't legit.
Well, that's what I want to know. Those people that put the money down, they have what was apparently stamped and legitimized by a local magistrate.
Really?
Some kind of plot on the moon.
And how do you do that? Because everyone in the world can look at the moon, so who really...
Who
say,
has the
yes.
most money, probably. Really? Here's where the challenges come in. So first of all, the FAA is starting to work on creating regulations for licensing. Not just anybody can go up there and start sticking a flag in the ground and say, this is mine now.
Yeah.
Now, there is a company called Bigelow Airspace that's already working on inflatable habitats. So that's what sort of brought this all together. They have habitats. You can go up there, turn on a button, and these things blow up. You can get in them and live in them.
So like a giant bounce house for grown-ups on the moon?
That's
right. I love it.
Yes.
What,
with filtered oxygen on the inside, or do you have to wear a spacesuit?
I would imagine it's got some sort of filtration system on the outside. I saw it. It's like
crazy.
A silver bubble. It looks like space-age material.
Yeah.
Now, here's the challenges. Huh. There is a UN treaty that prohibits national claims to celestial bodies. Also, no nukes or weapons are allowed on celestial bodies. So now any of these private sectors that go up there, how are they going to protect their assets? Because you'll probably have, you know, space pirates as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course.
That's going to come along.
Yeah.
So how do you divvy up the property? What about the mineral rights, transportation? The whole thing's a wild, wild west right now. But
yeah. I see war.
See how it develops.
See war.
And
somebody's going to shoot a rocket right through the moon. And then what happens? If we lose our orbiting moon, does that throw us off our axis?
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to create problems.
We'd be in trouble, yeah.
No more high tide. That'd be a bummer.
Oh, yeah. What would the surfers do?
I think the first thing we need to do is create a giant projector, and that way people can advertise on different nights on the moon when it's full.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting,
right?
I think
that's been thought of.
Oh, okay.
That would be
not original?
Well, I don't know. It's probably an original thought, but I think somebody...
had it first,
there was a blue moon concept and all of that. Maybe they should just dig a giant hole up there.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And then just for fun.
Right.
Yeah. You know what the deepest hole humans have ever dug here on Earth is?
Boy, that's a good question.
7.6 miles deep.
Huh.
What'd they use?
A big hole digger.
A spade shovel.
Your hands.
Well, considering the radius of the Earth is almost 4,000 miles.
Yeah.
So a 7.6 mile deep hole is just scratching the surface, isn't
it? Yeah, that's not very deep at all.
No.
That would be so scary to fall into that.
No. But you know what? I bet Pete Carroll, the coach of the
Seahawks would probably like to climb into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know it.
That hole is just about deep enough for him.
Right, feels like he's in it right now.
For now.
That was ridiculous.
How many minutes exactly of sex are there in 50 Shades of Grey? The story for you next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Yes, you're right. It is Phil Hewlett and Friends, and you're listening to it. I'm Phil. Aaron and Chris are here, and we're happy you are. There's been a lot of hype about the raunchiness of the 50 Shades of Grey movie. And now we know how much of it will be sex.
How much?
50%.
More.
According to MrSkin.com, the movie is 100 minutes long, and there are more than 20 minutes of sex.
Oh.
That's 20%.
That's is it?
Somewhere in there.
It is 20%, yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's it?
Well, yeah. It, are you shocked?
Kinda. I didn't read the book, but I just... I don't know.
There has to be some story around it, though.
Why?
Well, see,
I'm just kidding.
That's more sex than all 18 of the mainstream R-rated movies that came out last year combined.
Oh, well, okay then.
And that makes it the raunchiest mainstream movie since the 2004 drama, Nine Songs, which was 75 minutes long and had 41 minutes of sex. Did you see that movie, Nine Songs? I've never heard of that one.
No.
I was thinking of that that Tom Cruise and what's her name his former wife, the
Katie Aussie. Holmes.
No, the former the
Aussie, yeah,
Aussie gal.
What's her Kidman?
Name?
Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman. Yeah. What was that movie?
Oh,
Eyes
Wide Shut with Tom Cruise. And
wasn't that mostly sex?
Yeah, that was a weird movie.
Yeah,
too. Very strange.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I found that commercial a little bit like it didn't fit in the Super Bowl because there was like 8 commercials on violence against women, and then there's the 50 Shades of Grey commercial.
Yeah, right. How about that? The star of the movie, Jamie Dornan. Do you know who that is? Okay.
I know who he is, yes.
Good-looking guy?
Yeah.
Yeah?
He's good-looking.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I saw those commercials for that movie, and I said, why'd they cast high school kids for that?
Yeah.
Don't they look young?
They do look young. Well, she, I know, is really young.
Yeah. Well, Dornan says that the movie isn't pornographic or even erotic in his point of view. And the director, Sam Taylor Wood, says he didn't want it to be graphically explicit and instead tried to make it about, quote, the buildup of titillation of touch and sensuality.
Hmm. The movie's either going to be good or it's going to be horrible, and then it could really hurt both of their careers, I think.
Yeah.
This is that kind of situation.
Oh, like the showgirls for, what's her name?
Elizabeth Berkley. Yeah, that's that kind of movie. I think even the lead actress had said something about that she wasn't wanting this to be her showgirls. So.
Wait, Showgirls didn't help Berkeley's career?
No, it didn't. Oh. It took 20 years for her to be on Dancing with
yes,
the Stars.
That's right.
To dig her way out of that.
That was her next gig.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I love that movie.
I think. Did you?
Sure, yeah, it's a classic.
Wow. All right.
You can appreciate it now. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. On to the next thing to worry about. And thank you, parents, for not vaccinating your kids, because now we have a bigger and bigger problem with the measles. Isn't that right, Aaron?
Mm-hmm. It's February, and there have already been 102 cases this year, it looks like.
Of a disease that had formerly been eradicated.
Yes. Yeah. And they say it doesn't look like it's going to slow down because of the vaccine issue. And last year, there were like over 600 people that had measles. So it's not going anywhere. And it's a very disturbing trend.
You just do the geometry or the math or the trigonometry, whatever it is, 600 last year. It'll be 1,800 this year. It'll be 1,000,000 next year.
Yeah. And you can't go to Disneyland. now because of it.
Well, Disneyland isn't saying that. Or...
No, you can go to Disneyland, but you want to make sure you've been vaccinated and you have to be careful everywhere.
That would sound like a great story, a great title for a book if somebody wanted to write it about parents that don't vaccinate their kids. You can't go to Disneyland.
Right.
That'd be the name of the book.
Yeah, that'd be heartbreaking to many children.
Wouldn't it? Come on, Mom. What are you doing? Maybe you should have used birth control.
Yeah.
Would help the climate, the earth, and all of that, maybe.
And there's different opinions on that. There's should or should not use birth control. Here's another way of looking at it. Experts now say that birth control might be the key to reaching our climate goals. All right, let's see how this ties in together. They're saying that parts of the world, like parts of Pakistan, Africa, many other countries, in those areas, only 1/3 of women use contraception. Now, what that leads to is almost half of all pregnancies in these areas being unplanned. Now, here's where they go with it. They say overpopulation leads to things like heavier emissions, food and water shortages, and all these things that help lead to climate change. And the experts are saying, look, we're not talking about population control. We just want to give people the choice to limit their family size and make it more manageable for them.
Yeah.
And more manageable for their country and for the world to help sustain them.
So with the climate issue, really, every individual has a consumption quotient, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
We consume and we whatever the outcome of consumption is the or the output of consumption is our waste. So we consume and we waste. And you can measure that by the number of people, and that's what affects the climate. Is that what they're saying?
That's what they're saying. They're saying we all contribute a little bit. And the reason that they're tying it to climate control, one of the reasons is there is a new $10 billion clean climate fund that was released by the UN, and they're thinking that family planning could end up being part of this funding. In other words, they'll help fund to give free birth control in these areas. Mm-hmm. Should people choose to use it?
You know what they should do? They just go the full yard on this. You know, they talk about the carbon footprint that everybody has. You know, when you're having the baby, you're pushing out that puppy in the hospital. You could do those carbon trading points right there. You know, where you get something in exchange. You know, hey, we gave the baby, and then we're going to trade some carbon points or whatever it is, and then you get a certificate from Al Gore, and everybody's happy.
I like that idea. How about maybe a gift certificate to Taco Bell or something too?
Now,
little incentive.
Now you're talking. You know? In that,
Taco Bell.
I think Taco Bell does lead to higher emissions,
right? But
probably.
In that
goodness.
No.
Yes, depends on what you eat there. But.
Yeah, yeah. And what's Leonardo DiCaprio been eating these days?
Oh,
he's good-looking guy, isn't he?
Yeah, but yeah, I saw pictures of him recently too.
He's dating a famous lady. Hmm. Maybe you've heard of her. Her name's Rihanna.
Who's that?
Oh, wow.
Well, they've been reportedly. As the kids say, hooking up.
Yeah, that's the new lingo.
For some time now, and while most women would be happy to have just gotten that far with Leonardo, this is how Rihanna's talking. A source says that she's making Leo shape up because he's, quote, this is Rihanna talking, flabbier than her usual lovers.
That's awesome. I love that. Somebody has to tell him, like, put him in his place, because I think he's probably a little egotistical.
Is he enjoying the excesses of stardom?
Probably.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of him. He was on the beach surrounded by about 7 supermodels with just this grizzly beard, and it is obviously letting himself go.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they all look
it's a
beautiful.
Man's world.
And then he's there looking, a little
right,
disheveled.
A man's world. But then the news is that maybe Leo digs kind of being bossed around by Rihanna. A source quotes, Leo thinks it's all highly amusing. He's never had a girl tell him what to do, so you can imagine how much he's loving it. She wants him to get a 6-pack.
All right. What kind? Budweiser?
No.
We're going to have to track this and see
what
happens.
It goes both ways because Rihanna made a promise to him regarding her body. Here's another quote from Rihanna.
She'll cover it.
Leo, you're right.
I'm sorry.
That would be difficult for her to do. Here's the quote. Leo asked her to promise not to get another tattoo until she falls in love again. She thinks he's playing some type of mind game with her, and she's intrigued by it. Can you imagine the conversations that go on between those two?
They're just weird, it sounds like.
Are they?
I think so.
Strange people?
They're an odd couple. He usually is with, like, the supermodel, so I bet she could put him in his place
a little bit. Well,
she's famous.
She's supermodel status. If she were not a singer, do you think she'd have a modeling career?
I think so. Yeah, just based on her attitude. I mean, she'd have
she
to
does
do
have
something.
The attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to talk to her, and then when you got that flair out of her, that's what would be her major appeal. But she's beautiful for sure.
Yeah, I've seen her.
Is she fierce?
Yeah, yes.
That's the model
mean.
Language, right?
Fierce.
Model lingo. Got to be fierce.
Yeah, according to Tyra Banks, yes, you have to be fierce and smize with the eyes.
Smize with the eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what?
Yep, you have to smize. That's like smile through your eyes is what that means. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That's
mm-hmm.
something.
I yeah, shouldn't know
don't
this
smile
stuff.
Through your face. That leads to wrinkles.
Hey, Sunday Super Bowl was the most watched show in U.S. TV history.
Wow.
With 114.5 million viewers, the previous record holder was last year's game, 112.2. But even more people watched Katy Perry's halftime show. 118.5 million people tuned in for that. That also beat the previous record, which was, once again, last year's halftime show starring Bruno Mars. 115.3 people watching that. So
I think we were all tuning in to see whether or not we hit the cleavage prop bet.
Yeah.
Which I don't think anybody did win that one. I don't
yeah,
know what the final decision was.
Yeah, because we were all staring with disbelief at the dancing sharks.
Right.
Those are kind of cool, though.
Giant tiger.
You know, with all the talk about driverless cars, and they are coming sooner than you think, what's the reality when a bunch of people have these? There are still millions of people who don't, and a lot of them, let's face it, are horrible drivers. Will drivers and driverless cars collide? That's coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. Aaron Myers, Chris Martin are here. And I often talk about driverless cars. I have so many questions about it. I mean, I certainly see a lot of the benefits if you're 85, 90 years old, and, you know, the kids and the grandkids all want you to go turn in your driver's license. You get a driverless car, and you don't lose that sense of independence.
Or if you don't like driving, I think there's a handful of people that really don't like doing
it. I don't.
Aaron's raising her hand.
I do not like to drive at all.
If you're a sleepy driver, this would come in handy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you come up with all kinds. But then there are questions in my mind, like how exactly does this work? Because there's so many other cars out there. And so we want to ask somebody who knows a thing or two about driverless cars. Okay, fine. Somebody who knows a ton about driverless cars. Joining us now is a gentleman from the company Visteon Corporation. We'll learn what that is in a moment. It's Brian Daugherty. Brian, first of all, what is Visteon and what do you do there?
Well, Visteon, we're becoming about a $3 billion company, primarily focused on electronics. So we do everything that you would see in the cockpit of a car, from the cluster behind the steering wheel that would be your speedometer and your odometer and gauges, you know, kind of from a meter type solution all the way up to a full kind of glass cockpit, as well as the audio infotainment and the center stack.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. And I looked at your website, and there's a prediction there that says by 2020, there will be 152 million connected cars. Now, is that the same as driverless, or is that something completely different?
No, that's quite a bit different than driverless. So connected refers to a car essentially being connected full-time, both with other cars, with the internet, with systems from a wireless standpoint.
Other cars, that's interesting. All right, so let's zero in now on driverless cars. The technology as we know it today, how autonomous are these?
Well, it really depends on you know, which cars you're talking about, because obviously everyone's familiar with the Google cars, and Google's done a fantastic job of demonstrating, you know, what technology can do. But again, there's even limitations with the Google cars. So NHTSA, which is the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, has come out with kind of four levels, or really five levels, including the zero level, which has no automation, to kind of further define what automation or automated driving really refers to. Because when people say autonomous, at least in the industry, we tend to say that's full self-driving, right? So
yeah.
Autonomous, driverless car, those would all be synonymous. But in the middle is more of where we are today and even where we will be in the future. So a level one, you know, might have So level zero under NHTSA's guidelines, you know, has no automation. Level one has, you know, one function that's considered automated, like automated braking. Level two, which is kind of the most common example, and it's actually available in some higher-end luxury cars today, would be two automated kind of features. So you might have full-range adaptive cruise control plus automatic lane keeping. So if you were on a highway with well-marked lanes, you know, the weather was okay, it would speed up and slow down and keep, you know, a proper distance and spacing with the car in front of you, as well as stay in the lane.
All right, so if you have this car that has a certain level of autonomy, maybe level two, maybe there's a 2.5 when you blend that with the concept of connected cars where they're speaking to each other and the internet and all of that, are we going to see by 2020 a car where you could sit down and get into that dashboard and type into something probably built by Visteon Corporation the coordinates where you want to drive, press go, and the car takes you there?
No, I don't think by 2020 you'll see it quite to that level. So, you know, kind of going in that direction, though, is, you know, the NHTSA Level 3, which is kind of limited self-driving, right? So the Google cars, you know, are autonomous at times, right? But they have a trained engineer sitting there ready to take over, you know, in case something fails from a sensor standpoint. And, you know, as long as someone's available to take over, those kinds of level three automation vehicles, you know, you may start to see those, you know, in a number of years.
Okay, so you talked about the limitations that these vehicles have. And the one thing that I always wonder about this is the unpredictability of human drivers in other cars. And do these driverless cars work best in a petri dish? That is to say that all the other cars on the road have to be driverless as well.
Well, obviously that would be true, right? I mean, I think you would be able to do autonomous features much faster if you didn't have to worry about non-autonomous cars around you, because if the vehicles were linked and talking to each other and controlling the vehicles, you'd have a much larger degree of control over the whole situation on the road. But realistically, you know, autonomous vehicles or even automated vehicles will be introduced into the driving environment, you know, with 240 million vehicles that exist today without those features.
I can't tell you how many times a day I'd like for my car to be able to communicate with the car in front of me so I could immediately say, you might want to get your taillights checked because they keep coming on for no apparent reason. You know, things of that sort, and all the unpredictable things that people do out there. So are there other applications for this technology, maybe driverless buses, tractor trailers, limousines? Are we going there at all?
Yes. You know, one of the areas that's really been kind of leading this charge when you start talking about almost fully autonomous or even some fully autonomous things is really in agriculture and mining. So when you look at some of those, you know, you have fairly repetitive tasks where you're driving a combine harvester or a tractor up and down a field. You have a very known environment. There are no other drivers around. And so those kinds of applications are really taking off pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, what would you say are the biggest bugs that still need to be worked out before this becomes mainstream?
Well, it really depends on what level you're talking about. If you're talking about fully autonomous where, like you said, you type into your dash where you want to go and you climb into the back seat and go to sleep, you know, I don't think we'll see those kinds of vehicles on the road for a very, very long time.
Not in our lifetime.
You hate to put, you know, frame it in that way, but it's going to be a very, very long time because there are just so many variables out there. There's an infinite number of things that can happen on any one drive. So even on your drives to work, right, the drive yesterday and the drive today were very different, even though it was the same route.
Sure, because of all the human variables.
All the human variables, all the weather variables, even a vehicle driving down a street with a set of sensors, every time they drive down the street, they'll get different sensor values at every point because the sensor may be off by a millimeter from where it was the day before, right? So, you know, it is a very variable environment, and those are the toughest things to handle. That's why you'll see these kind of lower levels of automation, like a level two or 2.5, as you referred to,
yeah,
Primarily, we'll be working, you know, on highway-type conditions.
Sure, and perhaps connected and smart highways here in the near future. Now, as a fan of the driverless cars, which I assume you are, do you ever get a, I don't know, a guilty sense or a romantic loss with what driving once was?
Well, I guess, you know, I'm a realist in that, you know, when you say driverless, that to me means fully autonomous. So I think what we'll see in the near term is kind of these, you know, kind of midway points where when you're getting bored driving or when you're driving across on a long trip, say, to Florida or something, you know, having the car take over the monotonous task of staying centered in the lane and not running into the car in front of you, I think would be very valuable.
Advanced cruise control.
Vehicles, what's that?
Yeah.
So like an enhanced cruise control. But you could really, you know, back off a little bit from, you know, what you have to do today in terms of paying attention. Mm-hmm. But you'd still be there and ready to take over if something went wrong.
Gotcha.
Or if the sensor could see the lane line.
When do we expect to see the level one cars start to hit the dealerships?
Well, level one cars are already here. Level two cars actually are already here. So if you buy a high-end luxury vehicle like a Mercedes S-Class, you can get that with full-range adaptive cruise control and automatic lane keeping. So the 2014, I believe, and the 2015 model years are available with that. So you can enjoy that today.
Yeah, all right. Will there still be an FM radio in the dash, or maybe AM even? Nobody has an AM radio in the dash anymore. Will there still be FM radio in the dashboard?
I think so.
Okay, good.
No one will use it, but it'll be there.
Yeah. We're putting combine drivers out of business. We're going to put radio people out of it, too. But no, just all kidding aside, the future is exciting. The technology is wonderful. You've got an amazing job over there at Visteon Corporation, watching all of this be built and invented before your eyes. And we're in a brave, brave world, wonderful world, Brian Dougherty. And thank you so much for opening our eyes about the coming, whatever we want to call them, semi-autonomous cars, and you enjoy the ride, too.
All right. Thanks a lot, Phil.
All right. Thank you. You're welcome. So that was interesting. We got a technology guy on there talking about cars. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? They're not completely – I was thinking that they were going to be able to type in an address and press go.
That would be amazing.
Yes.
I'm glad this guy gave us the realistic view of what's happening with these autonomous cars, because I think people in their head picture that they're going to be – out on the road by
not
2020,
driving.
And it's going to be a very long time. By the way, sounded a lot like Harold Ramis from Ghostbusters.
He did, didn't
the late,
he?
Great Harold
sure.
Ramis.
Yeah, back from the grave.
Great voice.
Yeah. All right. So, how's the dating scene going for you two?
Mm.
Not that you're dating each other, but individually out there looking for people.
It's a tough world out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I keep trying. She keeps telling me no.
Is it easier or harder to date these days? I mean, with all the online dating options.
I think it's harder if you try to date normally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's a better question, and you don't have to answer this one. Is it safe to date online or even offline? Coming up, you're going to hear from an expert on modern dating safety right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and when you put yourself out there in today's dating scene, you're taking a lot of risks, aren't you? I mean, after all, as our next guest points out, nobody's going to say, "Hello, I'm an axe murderer. Can I buy you a drink?"
I'm cray cray.
And people can be even less forthcoming about themselves and their intentions online You've seen Maria Koder on TV, on the Today Show, Katie, Steve Harvey, and a host of others. She gives workshops on dating safety, and her book is called Investidate, How to Investigate Your Date. Maria Koder, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, and it's we feel even better that you're here now. And how scary is it out there anyway?
You know what? It can be very scary, but it can also be very fun. It's a mix. You just have to be prepared.
All right, and that's your expertise. And take us through the steps. How do you sniff out a liar or a cheater or somebody who has nefarious intentions for you?
Well, you know, the most important thing is that you need to do your homework. You know, there's a lot of physical, financial, and emotional dangers that are out there when it comes to dating. So the most important thing to do is to, you know, to look at the information that's already available, that's online for you, and do a little bit of a background check. You know, use free tools to look into this person that you're going to meet so that when you go out there, you're having a good time, but you also know what you're getting yourself into and if it's something that you're interested in pursuing or not.
Free tools, like what?
Well, one that I really like is called Spy Dialer. It's at spydialer.com. And you go there and you type in somebody's cell phone number, and it'll dial in so you can hear their outgoing voicemail message. So I really like this tool. If you haven't met the person in person yet, let's say you're meeting someone off of an online dating site or off of a Craigslist post that you posted, it's a great way to cross-check the number, make sure that it's an actual phone number to a cell phone to a real person. And then you can hear the person's voice. If they told you that maybe they were 25 years old and you're dialing in and you hear an outgoing voicemail message from someone who sounds like they're 70, nothing wrong with that. But what's wrong with it for you is that you're agreeing to meet someone that's 20-something, not 70.
Yeah, and if you've been chatting and texting with somebody who says he's a voiceover artist and an operatic singer and he sounds like Kermit the Frog on the outgoing message, then you have something to worry about.
Exactly. And, you know, it's especially true. Like a lot of people say, he's a foreigner. He just got to the United States 2 months ago from France. He's got the sexy accent, he says. And then you call in and, you know, you can tell sometimes that this person is more like Berlitz than actually French.
Yeah, Berlitz. So background checks as well. I mean, that could run a lot of money. You say they're free tools for that?
They're free tools for that. They're not as in-depth as if you would get if you paid for one, but they're really, really useful. Like if you go to a website like criminalcheck.com or familywatchdog.us, those are two free sites. You'll find their sex offenders are listed there by name. And also, let's say you're getting ready to meet someone, you don't know his or her name, but you know that they live in a certain neighborhood, or they've told you they live in a certain neighborhood, you can Google and get the zip code for that neighborhood, plug in the zip code, and then start clicking on the icons to get information and pictures of those sex offenders and criminals in that area.
Yeah.
So you can have a bit of an idea of what's going on.
Might be fun just to go there, even if you're not dating, just to see if any of your friends are listed, because you never know.
You do that.
You don't know that much about your friends now, do you? But then, by the same token, you enter into a dating relationship. I mean, you're potentially looking just for fun initially, but you may ultimately fall into love or marriage or something like that. Do you feel a little hinky on the front side, like you're being a bit of a stalker?
No, you know, there's a very big difference. There's no one hiding behind a bush with, you know, binoculars. That's not what this is about. This is using information that's already out there, already public. And it would be dumb to not do your homework and look into it. You know, the information's right there. I feel like if something happens to you when you go out on one of these dates and the information was right there and you didn't look into it, shame on you.
Yeah.
It's not stalking. It's doing your due diligence.
Right, right. You know a thing or two about this, right? Didn't you? You took a gentleman, a fellow, almost all the way to the altar and realized at some point that he wasn't really the marriage material you thought he was. Could you give us an idea on that?
Yeah, well, you know, I did date someone who I thought was great, and he turned out to not be great. In fact, he was soliciting women via Facebook, a lot of women, close to 3 dozen women in 1 month.
Whoa.
And so when I found out, I was devastated, but I had already been working on my book. It took me 7 years to write my book, and that was the kick in the pants I needed to really finish this and get it out there.
Yeah, you canceled the whole wedding, didn't you?
That was a different relationship, but...
Oh, yeah, there's two guys.
Well, that one was it just wasn't a good match for many reasons, but nothing shady there. The second guy was a little bit shady.
I gotcha. All right. So you know a thing or two about this. And in our studio here, Erin Myers, who's, are you past the rebound stage?
Who, me?
No, I'm talking about Erin here in the studio. Yeah. What would you?
I don't know.
You're still? Are you still in that gray?
I don't know.
Rebound area.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Are you willing
knows?
To date at this stage?
If I meet somebody I like, maybe.
See, and Chris over here is actively dating. In fact, almost every time he talks to Aaron, there's a tinge of that in there.
Right.
In the conversation.
Yeah, that's flirtation for sure.
In the back of your mind, there's a chance you think. There's an absolute small chance that maybe you and Aaron could.
Right, but I got to give her rebound time. It's
my
still
rebound
fresh.
Time, yeah,
you know?
That's true.
There's a spark.
And
or something
I'm a patient
there.
Guy.
And he knows how many pets I have.
Yeah.
So there's that, too. Yeah.
Right. Now, you can't look at it. Now, you know what? We're talking to Maria Coder. She wrote the book, Invested Date, How to Investigate Your Date, and that book is available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com, by the way. When we talk about these scary dates, it seems like we're always talking about a bad guy. We think of a man as a potential criminal. What about the ladies? Do we have to worry about the ladies at all?
You know, it definitely can be a woman, too. In fact, when I teach workshops, I get a lot of guys that come to the classes, and they're, you know, concerned about maybe meeting someone who could be a gold digger. Or maybe when they're online, they're afraid that they're talking to someone who is representing themselves as a woman who really is a man.
Ooh.
So there's a tool for that, too.
Okay.
Let's say you're just chatting with someone and you have some emails going back and forth or some text messages or chat messages. You can go online to I don't have the exact URL, but if you Google gender guesser, this website comes up. It's based on an algorithm. And you dump in the text in there, and it'll tell you if it thinks it was written by a man or a woman.
That's crazy.
Gender guesser is what it is?
Gender guesser, yes.
Wow.
Google gender guesser is the first thing that comes up.
So what do you think about old-fashioned dating versus online dating? Which camp are you in?
Well, you know, it's hard to choose. I think online dating is more efficient, and it's the way that things are nowadays. And I think you run into trouble when you want things to be different than what they are. But, you know, there's a charm that was involved with the old-fashioned dating. But, again, it was an old-fashioned game at that point. It's hard to stay old-fashioned when the world's moving forward.
Yeah, I got you. Mm-hmm. You know what? When you go into a bar, people are prettier after two or three drinks. But it seems like when you're online dating, you walk in the door drunk, you know? It's like everybody looks like a potential date, it seems to me. Well, Maria Coder, it's a pleasure speaking with you. Continued success to you with your book and your talks that you give to your workshops that you give. Invested Date, How to Investigate Your Date, Maria Coder. And we have a link to you, all of the websites that you mentioned as well. And you have a website, Invested Date. What's your website again?
Yep, it's Invested Date, Your Date.
.com. We have a link there as well. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Phil.
That's it for hour one. There's more to come, including our travel guy takes us to spring training camp and the top five ways Facebook ruins your life. Start thinking about that. Those stories and a whole lot more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, when strippers go on strike. Bruce Jenner speaks to Diane Sawyer, and you should see how long his hair is. The friends are here. Aaron Myers, who's envious of Bruce's hair.
I am.
And Chris Martin.
who I can't connect to Bruce Jenner in any way. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't forget about when I competed in that decathlon.
That's right. Oh. I forgot about that. The whole javelin incident. Oh, yep. That was ugly. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. We'll get things rolling here with the second hour. And with you, Aaron, there was a plane crash that the NTSB is forced to set some new rules now about. Is that true?
Well, they haven't said necessarily new rules, but they're giving out information on things you shouldn't do if you are flying. And we've talked about selfies being dangerous before. People take them in situations and then they fall off a cliff. Well, they just released info on a Colorado plane crash that killed the pilot and his passenger. And it looks like the pilot was taking selfies right before they crashed.
Oh,
so just
man.
Something you don't want to do, obviously, if you're flying an airplane.
Well, people taking selfies when they're driving their cars, too, aren't they?
I have seen people do that. I actually have a friend who has done that, and I'm like, you idiot. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Have the passenger take the picture of
well,
you.
Yeah.
Right?
If there's a passenger, or wait till you're parked.
Yeah. Well, but you're going to miss the shot.
Well, what's special about having a shot of yourself while you're driving?
Yeah.
I don't know. See, at one point in the development of humankind, that shot wasn't important at all.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
When you had to take the film to the local developer, there were a lot of shots that weren't important. We used to pick our shots, and there were really only, you know, you had 36 chances or 24 chances, depending on how many shots there were in a roll. And you thought five or six times, you thought long and hard about taking a shot, and you set it up properly, and you made sure it was absolutely correct, because you really only had one crack at it, maybe two, unless you had money to burn, and you had another six or seven of those rolls of film in your pocket. Then you could just snap away. But that was a rare person who did that. You would take your time and pick a shot because it cost you money. But now every shot's important for some reason. Why is that?
Well, you're right. There's unlimited film because it's all digital now. Mm-hmm.
But do we
and
care about all those?
And you have 50 meg of storage space.
At some point, people started to care about those pictures. People would like and they would share and they would follow and they would retweet and all these types of things. Pictures that just 10 years ago nobody would have cared about. Am I right?
We want to see each other. We want to see each other all the time.
I've seen
why?
Enough. I've just
I
about
agree
seen
why?
Enough. Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Yes. Well, apparently Portland, Oregon has not seen enough of a local workforce that is crying foul about labor conditions. And who might that be, Aaron?
The strippers of Portland.
Oh.
Yes. They actually are trying to get better working conditions, and they went to Salem to talk to state lawmakers and professional lobbyists because they want, you know, one is to feel safer at times. Sometimes that can be an issue, but there's other things like they're saying that some of the buildings, these clubs aren't always maintained properly, that there's glass, the stages aren't done what?
Glass.
Right. Yes, glass.
Broken glass
on the stage and
ooh.
Poor wiring with the sound system and the poles sometimes are dangerous as well, apparently. So they're trying to get better working conditions, and they've actually, you know, have, I think some of them have unionized, and, you know, they feel like they should be treated the same as everybody
imagine
else.
Imagine you join the strippers union, right?
Right, yeah, that's a picket line I want to see.
Yes.
Yeah. I wonder what the signs
well,
carrying
you know,
would
look,
say.
They more than likely have a strippers union already, but it has more to do with industrial stripping, like metals and woods
yeah,
and
right.
that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, yeah. Lacquer thinner stripper.
Exactly.
You know, I'm going to throw this out there, not to be chauvinist at all, but do you think there's any possibility that the judge might say, well, if you were a little hotter, you might get into a nicer club?
Wow.
I'm just wondering.
There are differences in clubs, though, I bet.
I don't think a judge is going to say that, Chris.
No.
Well, not out loud, but it might play into his decision.
But judges do make these off-the-cuff comments. Sometimes they might say, well, do you have any other options besides stripper?
Yeah, right.
Do you think a judge
that's
might say
a good
that?
Point. Yeah, I'm sure they'll bring that up, and then she'll have to fall back on nursing.
Fall back on nursing?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I mean, some of these girls, I don't know about Portland, but I know Vegas, I've heard girls go up there, they work the weekend, and then they can pay their rent for the next couple months.
Yeah.
So
is that how that works?
I think that's probably what the draw is to it.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Right. Oh, because they don't actually enjoy what they're doing during their performance?
I'm sure there are some people that do.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure there are others that do not.
Yeah, perhaps not. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Now,
you mean they're just in it for the money?
Yeah.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah.
Have you been smitten?
Oh, heartbreak, man.
Now, here's the thing.
On to another story. I've had a problem for a long time, ever since schools started having these zero tolerance rules. When you have zero tolerance, there's no wiggle room for common sense. And here, perhaps, is one of the most ridiculous zero tolerance stories we've heard in a long time. And it's a fourth grader, right?
Yes. And he's a little kid playing with his friend at a Texas elementary school. And they suspended him because apparently he took a ring to school and they were playing like they were from one of the Lord of the Rings movies. And he was saying he would use his ring to make his friend disappear and make him invisible like Bilbo Baggins. And apparently claiming he had these magical powers was enough to get him suspended because he was going to make his friend disappear.
All right.
Yes.
No
Fine.
Magic in school.
Don't. Yeah.
No.
No magic.
No fun. No imagination.
No threatening of any. Is that what it is? Did it fall under the threatening language?
That's
zero tolerance rule?
I think what they're hinting at. But come on. I'm going to make you disappear with my magic ring.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, don't forget that ring also makes you turn very evil and very angry.
That is true. Maybe it was more about that then.
It has a side effect to it, that ring. You know, it doesn't just turn you invisible.
Or it's just Texas.
Okay.
You know, I like
Texas. We're all scratching our heads. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you're trying to add some levity to the story there, Chris, but
no,
okay,
it doesn't
fine.
Make sense. It's not.
I wonder what kind of milk they're serving at the calf at that elementary school, Chris.
I doubt it's Fairlife, unless it's a real high-end private school, because that's the product that Coca-Cola is going to start.
What is it called?
Pushing. It's called Fairlife, and it's a new milk product. This milk product has 50% more protein, 30% more calcium, and 50% less sugar than your standard off-the-shelf milk. And by the way, it's also lactose-free, so all our lactose-intolerant friends will like that.
Wow, and what do they get for a gallon of that?
Okay, so they get $4.59 on average across the nation for a gallon of this, compared to a gallon of milk, which is averaging about $2.18 per gallon. And organic milk's going for $3.99, so a premium markup for this product.
What is this? Is it cow's milk? Is it alpaca milk?
No.
What's the deal?
It is cow's milk. It's cow's milk, but here's what they do. They've partnered with select milk producers, so I don't know, maybe Altadena, think of the ones you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they use excessive filters, kind of like they do for skim milk. Now, once they've filtered this milk down to its most skimmed-down state, they start adding components like protein and calcium and all of the things that this new healthy generation is looking for. And that's why Coke is doing this. They're saying people are turning away from soft drinks. We need to get into the
Well, that's true.
Healthier
that
option.
Soft drink sales are down significantly, historically so. But are they adding anything that you might get in a soft drink, like maybe bubbles or I don't know, caffeine?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any caffeine or carbonation.
Carbonated milk?
Yeah, why not? Oh. Root beer float.
Well, that's got root beer in it,
Yeah, but
though.
It's got milk. It's got ice cream in it. You
yeah,
know.
But ooh.
It's the premiumization of milk. Some people are calling it science milk, and it's already being picked up by Walmart, Target, Kroger, and Safeway stores. They're already committed to selling them on their shelves.
Yeah. Well, Walmart makes sense. You know, when you're pushing your shopping cart, you've got the disposable baby diapers, you've got your cigarettes, you've got your Jack Daniels, and a case of Coca-Cola. You throw in the Coca-Cola milk, right?
Yep.
It's probably on the same aisle as the Coca-Cola.
Right under the 5-pound bag of candy.
There you go. All right, fine. And while we're talking healthy, McDonald's, that's some tasty food right there, isn't it, Chris?
It is. And one of the reasons McDonald's is so tasty, people will claim, is because of their Big Mac sauce. Have you ever had a Big Mac, Phil?
Yeah, sure.
Of course, right? Aaron, you ever had a Big Mac?
I actually don't like that sauce. So
oh, you don't?
No, so, yeah.
And I'm not a fan of the Big Mac, but just the same, I do get the sauce. The sauce is good.
Okay.
I like it.
Supposed to be a very special sauce, and here's what McDonald's is doing. They're putting 200 bottles of their select Big Mac sauce onto the private market so people like you and me can have it. And in Australia, they're auctioning off the first bottle of Big Mac sauce, and as of 11 a.m. this morning, the bidding on eBay is at $18,000.
For one bottle of sauce? That's insane.
First bottle of McDonald's Big Mac sauce.
Holy
and it's like a
cow.
It's like a maybe a 12-ounce bottle. It's not even a very big bottle.
Wow.
There's still 8 days left in the bidding, and it's at $18,000.
Somebody really likes their sauce.
Oh, man.
They're onto something.
Mm-hmm.
But by the way, 100% of the sales price will go to the Ronald McDonald House Charity.
Well,
oh, I like
fine.
That.
Yeah. How fancy is that recipe anyway? Couldn't you just kind of figure it out yourself and make it yourself?
Probably.
Yeah. Ketchup, mayonnaise, a little bit of ranch, maybe a dash of mustard, and some diced up pickles.
There we go.
I think you're onto it.
Uh-huh.
That sounds special sauce right there.
Patent that.
Wow. since auctioned it off for thousands of dollars. All right, up next, the five ways Facebook ruins your life, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, here we go. You know what? We've been spending a lot of time during the breaks from our first hour. We had these links on the... there's the gender guesser, and it's uncanny. We found the link, and we put it on our links page. Just go to the letter G. You'll see gender guesser. And then what you do is you copy the text that somebody sent, either in an email or a text or chatting or whatever. Just copy it. They say if you can get up to 300 words worth, that would be best. But we've done shorter lengths, and we paste it in there, and it's uncanny. It gets it right every time. Have you, has there been, maybe it's a little on the fence with anybody that you've tried, Aaron?
Not yet. It's been verdict woman, yeah. Verdict man.
That's
so,
right.
Yep, it's gotten it right both times.
It's something, yeah. So we have on the links page at philhewlettandfriends.com.
I wonder what the Matrix includes. Maybe if you use words like fabulous.
Oh, right. You know. I don't know.
Mine didn't have any of those in it.
Yeah.
I just think mine, the girls spelled better.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. There's misspelling.
Is that what it
more
is?
More likely to be a dude.
It's interesting how
I'm
it
going
does
with that.
That,
yes.
So, yeah, there you go. There's all sorts of things on the links page that you could have fun with. Facebook is... it's a drug, I guess, isn't it?
It can be evil.
I mean, we keep going back for more, even though we know it's bad for us. And check out this list now. The top five little ways Facebook has ruined your life. Starting with number five, and this is courtesy of the folks over at Mashable. You get it shoved in your face when somebody had a party and didn't invite you. Hmm. Right? Because you get to see all the pictures of people having a good time at the party. Wait a minute. Why wasn't I there? Yeah, that's bad.
Time to look in the mirror.
That's right. Number four, books, movies, and TV shows are constantly getting spoiled for you because people are talking about them.
Yeah.
Talking about what happened.
And it doesn't take
long.
It's instantly people want to comment on it.
Yeah.
It's true.
Did you see the ending of Gotham last night? Here's what happened. No. What? I've never seen an episode of Gotham, by the way. That's why I threw that out there. That's why I picked it, because I've never seen it.
You're missing out.
You number three, you realize other people have cooler lives than you, and you seem pretty boring in comparison.
Yes. I think that one all the time, actually.
Do you?
Yes,
wow.
I do.
Come on.
Oh, my goodness. I see people doing all these fun things, and I'm like, I'm sitting at home with my cats.
Yeah. Well.
I like that, though.
Yeah, okay, I was going to say, there's something you could do about that. All right, number two, people make big announcements with status updates so you find out important news from your friends at the same time as everyone else who's less important in their life.
Mm-hmm.
But right? Is that jealousy?
No, I don't know. It's like, let's say we're absolute best friends, right? And back in the day, you would have called me up or we would have gone to a bar and had a beer or something like that. And it's like, well, I popped the question last night. Well, yeah, what'd she say? She said yes. Well, when you get married? Well, I don't know. Maybe in a year.
Cool. Let's fire up the cigars. Yeah.
Fine. That's how it used to go. So now it's a status update.
Right. Yeah.
And everybody on the planet sees it.
It is true. That's how I found out recently one of my best friends is getting married. She posted a picture of like her ring. And I was like, wait, what? What just happened?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You just told everybody at the same time?
And you
told
didn't
me.
Have that girl moment,
no,
did you?
We did not. And finally, like a couple weeks later, I went and saw it in person. I was like, oh, it's so pretty, but I saw it on Facebook already.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, she'll probably... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to go there.
And here's the number one way Facebook ruins your life, a little thing that it does. No one sends you birthday cards anymore. They just post on your wall.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. But
that
it
really
also
doesn't bug me,
it
though.
Has allowed me to say happy birthday to a lot of people I normally never would have said happy birthday.
But think all the trees we're saving.
Exactly. Well, that's actually a good one.
Is that a good thing right there?
I do think so.
Okay. Very good. Let's see, where are we on the list? Oh, you have a good story here. And you just looked online and saw an update. There's a guy who's been walking a great deal and is getting some attention. And he's not walking because he's trying to raise money or anything. But tell us that story.
No, there's this man in Detroit who, you know, every day he walks to work around 21 miles there and back to get to work.
21
doesn't have a car.
Miles.
It makes $10 an hour. He's 56 year old and he does it because he wants to have a job. He goes in 5 days a week and he says it. He doesn't make excuses and he doesn't get any sleep either. Well, somebody started, you know, a fund for him and their hope was to, you know, get like around $5,000. Well, just looked, he's gotten over $100,000, and
whoa.
I think a couple car companies want to donate a car to the guy as well. And just sounds like he's a good man who does the right things, and now he's hopefully going to get something good in return.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how those things work, because I do think that those funds start with a sad story, and if the person turns out to be genuine, mm-hmm. then it really turns into something that's life-changing for him. And if it's not, then it sort of peters out, you know?
Yeah.
With the way social media works.
Yeah, yeah, no, it sounds like this guy, people, they like him.
All right.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. That's fantastic. So maybe you'll get to just keep the money and keep walking or keep driving, whatever he wants to do. There you go. You know, a guy that's starting to, is it a little creepy what's going on with Bruce Jenner?
Well,
I mean, if you're honest about it.
Prettier hair and prettier nails than I do. So,
I mean,
you
want to be compassionate and empathetic for what he's going through, and try to understand it and all of that. But just the same, does it creep you out a little bit? I mean, just does he have a creepy face? Let's put it that way.
Well, that wouldn't make a difference if he's a guy or a girl, then.
Yeah, you go through that much plastic surgery, it starts to look strange.
Yeah, yeah. Remove all the stuff about the gender transformation and all that sort of thing. I mean, did he just creep you out when he was on the Kardashian show?
I thought he was the most normal person on that show on the few episodes that I saw. He was kind of stern and he was, you know, good with the girls. It seems an odd transition, especially this late in his life.
I mean, for me, it's just he's the guy in the Wheaties box, right? He was Joe Athlete. He won the decathlon in the Olympics back in the, was it the 70s or the 80s? 70s, right? In the 70s. A big deal. I mean, what an amazing, an American athletic hero. Right.
Yeah, arguably the most difficult sports in Olympics.
Yeah, because you've got to do all, you got to run, jump, throw, all those different things that you have to do.
Yeah, a deca of things.
Yeah, there you go. And so after time, that memory of an American athletic hero is whittled away until our focus now is on this gender transformation. And somehow it's disjointing.
Yeah, and it's hard not to focus on it. And especially
is that discompassionate to say?
I don't know. I feel the same way you do. It seems he's 65 years old. It seems a little late in life to be making this sort of transformation, especially as liberal as his family and the position.
Well, maybe he's
been
under a lot of pressure all his life to uphold my memory of him as the American athletic hero.
He had an image.
Right.
Yeah.
So it took him all that time to finally say, okay, enough is enough. I've got to be me.
Yeah, and it must have been inside him the whole time. And the other thing is we're not hearing from him directly. I don't think we're just seeing it in these rag mags, but now we're going to, because Bruce Jenner is officially scheduled to sit down with Diane Sawyer to discuss his transition male to woman. Yeah.
Wow.
You just want him to be happy. That's what I think. If it's going to make him happy, that's all that
matters. Well, that's what Kim Kardashian said. She said he's the happiest she's ever seen him, and it's his story to tell. But I do want to throw in there also that the former Olympian will have a reality series planned that will be filming his entire transition. It starts filming this week on E! And the entire world will see his full transition.
So really?
Captivating television.
What goes into that?
You just put cameras on him. Same thing that goes
into... No, what I mean is...
What are
the cameras going to get? Are there scalpels involved?
Well, he already had the throat surgery to get rid of, to shave his Adam's apple.
Uh-huh.
So maybe, I don't know if they shot that.
Something
but,
definitely going on with the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah, but are they going to show the removal?
Nether regions?
The removal.
The removal.
You know which removal I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, that's a series of surgeries, I would think.
That takes a while.
You
got to
remove, and then you got to change and manipulate and, you know, create whatever it is that they... I don't know what I'm talking about.
There's a lot that goes into it,
just
though. You can only imagine.
You can't just snip. There's got to be something else going on,
Yeah, then
too.
You got to tuck.
Snip and tuck?
Yeah. Right.
You know, people go to great lengths these days to be who they want to be, whether that's who they were intended to be or not. That's totally their deal, not mine. But so much plastic surgery is going on these days. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just pull something off and not do the plastic surgery? I mean, how far would you go to avoid getting wrinkles, for instance? There's a 50-year-old woman in England who hasn't smiled in 40 years to avoid getting wrinkles.
Grumpy.
And apparently it's worked. She definitely looks doesn't look 50. She says it's all been worth it, even though she never smiles. They call that what? Resting bitch face? Is that what
wow.
that is?
Oh, no. It's worth it to not have any joy
That's
in your
common,
life.
Yeah. Victoria Beckham does the same thing. She does not smile.
She didn't even smile the day her daughter was born. How about
Aww.
That? Hey, we're all done with football. Are you happy about that?
No.
We can move on now. It's time to think about the national pastime and spring training vacations. Major League Baseball's on the way, and so is our travel guide. Next, here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All done with football, are you? Hi, it's Phil. I'm Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we're glad you made it. Aaron Myers is here, so is Chris Martin. Spring training for Major League Baseball gets underway in just a bit, and the teams will be waking up their pitching, throwing, and batting muscles in some pretty nice parts of the country. Places worth visiting this time of year, some people would say. And here to tell us all about that is our travel guy, Gary Warner.
Not just some people, travel experts say.
Oh, really?
Meaning me.
Of course. Well, you're our one and only travel expert, so we're going to have to take your word for it.
Is Glendale at the top of the list, Gary?
You know, no. It's a great park, but Glendale basically is way out there. It's part of the big western expansion into the suburbs from a few years ago where these every housing development seemed to decide that they needed to have a major league spring training facility. And so they built them. They're out in the middle of nowhere. They're great parks, but, you know, Glendale itself, there's a little downtown, you know, but...
And Glendale really is just a suburb of Phoenix, isn't it?
Right. I mean, they live for the sports franchises. They've got the spring training facility, a great place called Camelback Park, where the Dodgers share a facility with the White Sox. And then you have the stadium out there for the Super Bowl from time to time, and they have the hockey rink out there.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? It's when you say Dodgers, I mean, growing up, the Dodgers were always in two or three cities in Florida.
No. One city.
One city? But didn't they have a field in Kissimmee as well as the...
No. Kissimmee, I think, was the Mets back in those days. But no, Vero Beach. Vero Beach forever. And I got a chance to go to the second to the last spring training out at Vero Beach. And I'm telling you, what a great place, great experience. I know that moving the spring training out to Arizona was in part for the fans, but it was one of the Frank McCourt, you know, deals where he was just taking anything that allowed money. And I just missed Vero Beach.
Yeah, me too. Although I've never been there before.
So
are all the camps then in Florida and Arizona, or do we have some in Nevada?
No. They're all today in Florida or Arizona. When I was a kid, you know, they were kind of spread out a little bit. The Angels used to be in Palm Springs for part of the year.
That's right.
And that was great. We'd go down all the time. And then even before that, back in my dad's day, they were all over the place. You'd have the Pittsburgh Pirates out at Carousel Park in San Bernardino, and the big one, of course, was the Cubs, who would always go out to Wrigley Field, but the one on Catalina.
Oh, that's right.
That's really would. In fact, a real
Catalina Island, for those who don't know, is out off the California coast here in Southern California.
A real quick important story is that there was a young radio reporter who did baseball, who was sent by his station in Iowa all the way out to Catalina to report on the Cubs. And he met an agent there and some movie people who said, you should really come on out and get into entertainment. Now, this guy did. Then he went into another business. and his name would be Ronald Reagan.
No.
You know, the Cubs being in Catalina, you know, anyway, a little side note there. But
yeah, right there you
now,
go.
Right now there was a big war for a while that seems to have gotten calm, which was that Florida was the dominant place for spring training. And then Arizona really put on a push with these new developments to the point that it's now 50-50.
You know, let me ask you this, Gary. Besides watching baseball games with a bunch of players you've never heard of who all want to make the team, what else is there to do when you go to these spring training camps in the cities the surrounding areas?
Well, I'll tell you, you can go around and do all sorts of stuff in a town like Phoenix. There's great coffee, there's great eating. Part of the thing that is the attraction both for the teams and for people who are vacationing to go to the Cactus League, as they call it, instead of the Citrus League, is all these teams are basically within no more than a two-hour drive from each other. 16 teams. So you can catch a couple of games a day, whereas in Florida they're strung out all up and down the East Coast and the West Coast, and it's a little bit more difficult to get around. But Phoenix is a great town, especially this time of year. You go up to the Biltmore, the Frank Lloyd Wright-inspired hotel, and you know, have drinks out there. You can go, you know, just swimming pools are already cranking up that time of year.
You just got to hope the weather holds up, that you don't get a rainstorm or a haboob. For that,
yes,
the sandstorms that they get there. Didn't you get attacked by a haboob, Chris?
I've had very personal experiences with haboobs.
Yeah,
isn't that when you stop taking your steroids or something?
Like that? Yeah. Right.
No, that's what Bruce Jenner's going through.
You know what? If you take one of these excursions that many of the teams offer for spring training,
right,
is that an expensive way to go, or can you package your own deal and pull it off?
Yeah, you can package your own deal as long as you plan well ahead of time, especially out there in Arizona. You don't want to get stuck into some sort of thing where, you know, they're leading you around by the nose, you know, on one team. That's the great thing about that that spot out there, is you can kind of pick and choose your game every day. And except for a few spots like Camelback Ranch sometimes, and like the amazing new Diamondbacks field out there that's on one of the Indian reservations, that those places sell out. But for the most part, you can walk up and you can get into pretty much whatever game you want. The other thing that you know, I was telling you, I think, that I enjoy going out after the catchers and pitchers report, which is around February 20th. And what happens is a lot of the hitters also show up, especially if you're new to a team. It's sort of a thing, you come as early as you can. But the thing is, it's much more informal than you got maybe a tenth of the fans, and you're wandering around. So that, when I was in Vero Beach, that was when I was wandering around, and this guy came around the corner, and it was Vin Scully.
Mm.
Vin Scully and I walked along for 20 minutes and talked baseball.
No kidding.
I was a reporter, yeah. And last, 2 years ago when I went, the amazing thing was, it was the first year that Sandy Koufax showed up in a Dodger uniform and took part in spring training. He had a falling out with the Dodgers for quite a while. Then he started helping, but he would come. He lives in Vero Beach.
Of course, you were just a 5-year-old kid at the time, right?
No, Koufax, no, I missed Koufax, actually. I got into baseball in 66 or 67.
Okay,
Drysdale was my guy. But anyway, but you know, to see Sandy Koufax in a Dodger uniform,
yeah,
number 32, and he's 70 something, and he looks like he could be a number 5 starter right now. I'm telling you, but he's no more than, you know, 5 feet away from me.
Yeah,
you know, as just a fan, that's just an amazing opportunity.
And when you're a baseball fan, that's a huge moment there to meet such an iconic guy. Well, it sounds like fun. So if I were to just kind of roll the or spin the wheel of training camps and hope that the wheel lands on the jackpot, which is if I'm only going to do one of these, what's the number one spot?
Well, you know, obviously for locals, it would be the Angels camp.
Mm-hmm.
They're very close to the airport. And the other thing, they're close to the new Chicago Wrigleyville, which is sort of the new little Wrigleyville, which is the new facility out there. But I really enjoy the Angels camp. It's a great spot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. Good. Nice to know. And it's that time of year. I can't believe we're here already. Mm-hmm. Already time for baseball.
If you want to see your baseball heroes up close the way that it used to be,
Yeah.
This is the time to go, is early on.
And bring your Bermuda shorts. You have a pair of those, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I bet Vin Scully was wearing some, too, when you were walking
with
him.
Oh, he was in one of those little golfy outfits, because they all like to go out and play golf.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know?
Oh, there is that angle, too. You didn't even touch on that. But if you like playing golf, you might play golf with some budding baseball players.
Yeah, I went down to Casa Grande, which is the old Dodge, or the old Giants and then later Angels facility.
Yeah.
The one that has a hotel with a looks like a baseball cap on the top. They have a great golf facility there, and it was built by the Giants because back in the day, their blacks couldn't always play in the Arizona golf courses. So the owner, Horace Stoneman, built a course for Willie McCovey and Willie Mays. And so you can imagine the fairways are pretty long.
Wow.
You know, but all sorts of good stories out there.
How about that? All right, Gary Warner, great to talk with you once again, and we'll enjoy the baseball season together,
and
I'm sure.
Next week we're going to talk general spring break type of stuff, getting ready to really, you know, either get away or you know, just get crazy.
All right, so you're going to get your drink on. Is that what we're saying?
You know it, man.
Okay.
I'm going to get my beer helmet on.
Gary Warner, thanks. We'll talk to you next time.
Here, guy.
He's our travel guy. All right, so there we go. Up next, can we talk a little Paris Hilton up next? She's in the news for a couple of reasons. Oh, okay, fine. She's in the news for three reasons. And that's coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. We have a website, philhewlettandfriends.com. By the way, you should visit once in a while. Poke around. Last week, we were talking to Manny the movie guy, and he gave us his top 10 list of favorite football movies. And it's a pretty good list. And it's available on the show fun page. Actually, there's an extra page. When you hover over the menu item, it says galleries. Click on that. Little hidden gem on the website. You can hop around and find all kinds of Easter eggs there. In fact, there's a photo that I'm told our web munchkins are searching around that's related to the young lady we're about to talk about now. Erin, there's some Paris Hilton news, is there not?
Well, this is more about her brother.
Oh.
But I guess he was just Conrad Hilton. Her 20-year-old brother was just arrested today in L.A. for going crazy on a flight back in July. And apparently he was yelling at flight attendants and saying things like he was going to kill people and rip through people and that everyone on the plane was peasants and that he could own all of them. And he was so out of control, apparently they handcuffed him to a seat. And his attorney, Robert Shapiro, just said that he had taken a sleeping pill before the flight and he wasn't himself, and saying that, you know, there are cases where sleeping pills have adverse effects on people. But
I believe that.
He did go nuts.
I believe that. You know why? Because it's difficult for me to wrap my head around an heir to the Hilton throne being that type of a guy. You know, you'd think he'd just be so nice and courteous to everybody.
Really?
You know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, that's why I'm like, really?
I think it falls right in line with that whole line of Hilton's and their behavior.
Okay, yeah. So we'll see what happens, but he was arrested.
Yeah, all right.
I thought you were going to bring up Paris Hilton's breast augmentation.
You were excited about that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See a picture like that.
Yeah, well, see? That's the picture we're talking about. Now, what happened? Did she actually get a little enhancement over the weekend?
It looks like it to me. I mean, we've all seen enough pictures of Paris Hilton over the years. She was on a reality television show back in the day, and she's been in the news so many times. Now she's released this selfie on Twitter. And then that gets picked up by a bunch of news outlets. And it looks like to me she's had a little bit of work done.
Yeah, well, and I'm looking at the picture right now. And apparently, yes, she has.
Just for research.
She has, for research purposes only. She has had a little bit of work done.
You can confirm.
I can confirm. It's a rather a lot amount of work done.
This is Phil's expertise.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, look, Paris Hilton has, as you pointed out, Chris, not been afraid to show off the body in public. Mm-hmm. She's done the Carl's Jr. commercials where she's washing the car, getting all bubbly in the right. And there was that other car commercial where she's just dancing around in a car. And of course, she got. We wouldn't be talking about her today if she didn't have a sex tape. For
that
goodness sakes,
too.
That's right.
She not and that Kim she Kardashian.
Not that she necessarily had anything to do with that, but well, she had something to do with it. But the fact that it got out there,
she participated.
Yeah,
yes,
right. She was. Yeah, there you go. She knew the video was rolling.
Mm-hmm.
What she didn't know, as far as we know, was that it was going to go public.
You always know,
but,
I think.
But look, she became a big TV star because of that. That's the kind of role model our young ladies are looking for mm-hmm. these days, right?
I want to be famous. I'm going to make a sex tape.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Hey, Chris, we didn't discuss the Super Bowl, and I think Tom Brady, who is the now four-time mm-hmm. champion, the same as Terry Bradshaw and Joe Montana, should thank the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks for basically giving him the victory.
Yeah, you're talking about Russell Wilson, and I think that Tom Brady actually gifted him that Chevy that he won for being MVP. He just said, you know what, Russell, why don't you jump in this thing and drive out of here? I appreciate everything you did.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Patriots did beat the Seattle Seahawks 28-24 after a miraculous interception in the final seconds of the game. I was in a room full of Seahawks fans, so it was a shocking moment.
Yeah, yes. Were you surprised? I mean, they with a running back like they have, and they had 2 yards to go and 2 downs to do it. It was a no-brainer. The guy's hard to tackle as it is. He gets, what's the average, 3.5 yards a run, something like that, maybe more.
Probably more, probably closer to 5. And he is a beast. That's why they call him beast mode. And, I mean, I guess I'm sort of surprised, but as an offensive coordinator, they were trying to catch him off guard. I get that whole excuse.
Didn't work.
Yeah, and if it would have, we'd be talking about a whole different story mm-hmm. right now. It wouldn't be a big deal, but because it didn't, you have to ask, why not hand it off to your prize running back?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's a stud. He just ran 6 yards to the half-yard line, you know, barreling through Patriots.
Right. I mean,
go win the game.
You know, and what are folks in Seattle doing today? They're probably just, it's already depressing mm-hmm. to live up there. Isn't that what we're told? People are depressed up there because of all the rain? Yeah, exactly.
It rains a lot.
Yeah. So now what? I mean, they should have had a back-to-back, and that doesn't happen very often in history.
I sat there and watched the game with a friend who is from Seattle, and she was very upset, but then she said, well, you know, maybe they need to learn a lesson. So,
right.
You know.
And that's exactly what Pete Carroll said. Yeah. He said, this is a hard way to learn a lesson. I think that they're still in a state of depression, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, all credit to the Patriots, too. They played a great game. Tom Brady deserved to be MVP because of how he played. You don't like Tom Brady?
No, he's too pretty for football.
What do you mean too pretty?
He's too pretty. He looks like he should be like walking a runway, you know, in menswear versus throwing a football down a field. And it just irks me for some reason.
Well,
I don't know why.
Would you rather take him out of the uniform and put him in the underwear? Or would you rather just kind of beat him around the
head a little bit? Yeah, maybe break his nose, like punch him in the face and make him a little more like
violent,
you know,
with it.
Not for violence, but just to give him that kind of like, oh yeah, I play football look.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit of other football news. Cleveland Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel has entered rehab today. He has admitted himself voluntarily after telling his friends and family he may have possible dependence on alcohol.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So he's trying to turn his image around as well.
Johnny Rehab. That was a song from the 50s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Johnny Rehab.
Johnny Angel.
Oh.
Johnny Angel. Johnny
he's taking it upon himself. He said, I need to stop looking like a jackass and be accountable for my actions. So he could be in there for 30 to 90 days.
Oh, my gosh.
A little self-reflection.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, here's the thing. When you're a vegetarian, do you take the thing all the way? Because I always wonder, when I talk to these people who are vegetarians or vegans or whatever it is, I said, do you drive a car? Yeah. What kind of seats are in there? Cloth. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking good. How about the steering wheel? What's wrapped around that steering wheel? How about the dashboard? There's no leather in that car.
Wood grain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about the belt on your pants right now or the shoes? You know, just double check that all those things, you know, so that you're following a straight line of consciousness. Well, here's a guy. He's the owner of a vegetarian restaurant in Australia. His name is Con Hong. He owns the Kingsland Vegetarian Restaurant. It's in Dixon, Australia. And the health department has been going after him ever since they found a ton of cockroaches in his kitchen a couple years ago. Oh. But Con says he refuses to kill the cockroaches because he's a vegetarian who doesn't believe in killing any animals. And that includes insects, no matter how disgusting they are. So he was in court last Thursday. He got fined about $12,500 for repeated food safety violations. But now he says he's hired a pest control company that gets rid of cockroaches in a non-lethal way. Now, I don't know what they do. Do they get a guy with, like, a pan flute and he starts playing it and he marches out the door?
That'd be cute.
He says his restaurant is still really popular with vegetarians and vegans who apparently say, yeah, don't kill the cockroaches.
They're on board with him. He did the right thing.
Yeah, I guess they're happy with all of that, aren't they?
Cockroaches.
Yeah. Got to bring in the cockroach wrangler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. This one's for those who things that we'd never recommend you do in this situation, but it's great when someone else does it and it works. Three Chinese contractors were on a mountain road in Albania, okay, when three guys with guns swarmed them and demanded their money and their phones. But the robbers didn't realize that these three Chinese dudes happened all to be great martial arts guys. And I guess that means they, took care of business because all three of these guys, they had mad martial arts skills.
That's awesome.
Sounds like something right out of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, awesome.
No, I agree. Right out of a movie that sounds something like this? No.
No?
No.
Hi-ya! Wah! Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Like that. That's what it sounds like.
Your version was good, though, Chris.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
This version's not bad either.
Hey, thanks for listening to the program. We're at philhewlettandfriends.com. You can leave your comments there. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson. For Aaron Myers and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.